The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. We have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things around the coaching carousel in college football. What did he think of Arizona keeping the starters on the field against ASU? I think he and I are on the same wavelength here of put up a billboard. This is what happens when you get your ass kicked. It comes back. So we're also going to talk about Oregon, Washington. Why would Jonathan Smith leave Oregon State for Michigan State and all things around? We have to come up with a new title because all things around the Pac-2, as we know it. It's no longer the Pac-12. Once we get through the bowl season, we'll come up with something different. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business through the years. And in many, many ways, shapes, and forms, their random acts of kindness, and much, much more. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their ongoing support. Television shows on two channels now. As we continue to grow this beast, we are on Cox Your View. We are on Arizona Family Sports. And who knows, in this wild, wild climate of media, where else we're going to end up in 2024. I had a tremendously weird, awkward, fun weekend in Denver, Colorado. I'll get the weird and awkward out of the way first. It's nothing weird or awkward with my family. This was the Sess squads getting together. It's the Sessmats doing our thing at our son's oldest son's place in Denver. We decided let's all gather. And so a daughter flies in from Chicago. Daughter flies in from Phoenix. Son comes down from Colorado State. My better half and I drive up from Phoenix. The day before we're supposed to leave, I am out playing golf with my better half, who's much better at golf than I am. Even though I hit the stick on a par three, and she says, yeah, you know, if you wouldn't hit the stick, it would have bounced 30 feet. No, it was close to a hole in one. That's how I'm going to term it. That's how I'm going to phrase it. This is my story. So we're playing, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself, and I'm on the side of a hill hitting a second shot on a par five, and I swing and hit it, and I felt like somebody shot an arrow into my right butt cheek. It was like, oh, what was that? And by the time we finished the round, when I got home, I could barely get out. I jacked up my back. So I go to chiropractor. I go to people that are really good at getting me fixed. I had back surgery when I was a kid. Long story short, playing sports all those years. It does take its toll. Nothing really works. We drive to Denver with a jacked up back, if you can imagine. And it was just not... It was great to do the drive. I kept telling myself, so we split it up. We stopped in Moab. Moab's awesome. I don't know if you've ever been to Moab. Moab is so cool. But we took our dog and we are on the road and I'm just clenching my teeth. My wife puts on Christmas music. Oh my gosh, it's like the same five songs over and over and over on Sirius. So of course, me being me, I flip it over to sports. And by the time we got to Denver, we ended up driving through some weather. It wasn't bad by any stretch. Coming back was not great. If you've ever done I-70 in the snow, that was a barrel of monkeys. So that was cool. It was cool. Had a great life. That was the awkward part. It was just me driving and being uncomfortable. But, you know, we're all together. We're watching games and we're just... eating like, I don't know, like I grazed. I stepped on the scale today. Oh my gosh, I don't know about you. I stepped on the scale today. What? 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 And my daughter from Chicago brought her boyfriend out. And I've known this guy for a while. And I like him. I genuinely like him. And he says to my wife and I, why don't I walk with you guys back to your Airbnb? We stayed in Airbnb right around the corner from my son's place. So something went up, and so he walks us back, sits down, and says, I want to talk to you about marrying your daughter. Okay, that's kind of cool. That was the fun. That was an hour and a half of interrogation on my part. So that was fun, and it was cool. It was great. And then, of course, I watched the games and took in all the stuff around it. I've written this, and ASU hates it when I do this column, but I'm going to do it until they change their minds because it's so ridiculous. When Michigan's playing Ohio State and Alabama's playing Auburn, there's never a chance in hell, not even heck, there's not a chance that College Game Day or Big Fox or any network is going to come out and cover this thing. They're not. But for some reason, everybody thinks we have to play this game on Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know. Cal played UCLA. USC played UCLA last week. I get it. The conference is changing. I'm not saying get rid of the rivalry. What I'm saying is don't waste what your rivalry is, because compared to Alabama-Auburn, did you hear any mention of Arizona State, Arizona nationally? No. It was all about the tremendous ending of the Alabama game. It was all about Michigan, Ryan Day losing again. Ryan Day is going to get fired. Like, Notre Dame played Stanford on the Pac-12 network. How did Notre Dame end up on the Pac-12? And nobody saw it. This is one of the funny things on social. Was anybody watching Notre Dame Stanford? They're playing? Really? Yeah, nobody knew. Yeah, the death of the conference. Here it is. I took what Arizona did to Arizona State, and I said this back in the day, and I know that, look, because I didn't go to either school, I just don't care. And for those of you that went to both schools, you care probably more than you should. But when you lay the wood on somebody 70-7, you just know it's going to come back. And I thought it was funny that the ASU fans' retort was, yeah, but at least we know where $240 million is that the U of A can't find in their budget. That was pretty funny. So, you know, there's fun stuff about it, but when we're talking about in the grand scheme of things that this is the biggest thing ever, it may be here in Arizona, and you may not care one bit if national attention comes here, but guess what? Kenny Dillingham does. Kenny Dillingham said after the game was over that he's not going out recruiting players this week. He's going out to recruit NIL money. That's what the head coach at Arizona State is left with in year one. It is what it is. At Always Something University, the head football coach has got to go be a fundraiser because there's nobody over there that can fundraise because this thing was neglected for so long and left in disrepair that all of us could see coming. Well, not most of us, unless you're on the company payroll at ASU. You just look at this, and it's what a bleep show this is. What an absolute shit show. I'll just say it. Like, what are you doing? And so Kenny's left to go raise money? That's not what your head football coach should be doing. He should be maybe doing 5 to 10 fundraisers a year. He should have people all around him that are just bringing people in and sitting them down at a table and saying, hey, look, this guy is interested. Here he is. Have at it. And Kenny will do fine. On the other side of the street, we're going to talk to John Wilner about this in a couple of minutes. Where things are with U of A, I don't expect Jed Fish to be there. If UCLA comes open, why would he not take that job? And first of all, why should UCLA not come open? There's no reason. UCLA should absolutely come open. Chip Kelly, that program is dead, DOA. And the recruiting that U of A has done under Jed in Southern California, you go into the Big Ten Conference. It just makes so much sense on so many levels. And for U of A fans, you're a basketball school. This is fine. This is kind of sort of something to do to pass the time until you play, I don't know, you play Stanford or something. I saw some of Michigan State and U of A on Thanksgiving Day. It was fine. It was fine. They look good for a November matchup. But the teacup is not what we look at nationally. And this should be moved to the middle of the season, even start the season with this game. Played in Las Vegas, played in a neutral site, not so big about playing it in Glendale. If you play in Vegas, what I've heard is it's a lot of work for people at ASU and U of A. I don't care. I just don't care. What is it that is going to drive traffic to watch this game where you're not opposite Michigan? Hey, honey, Michigan, Ohio State's just ending. Let's flip over to ASU, U of A, or Alabama, Auburn. Not that hard. Driving back yesterday, I listened. Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley still have it. They have a lousy football team to discuss, and they are so honest. It's refreshing. It really is. There is just none of it. Like, I had to sit through the Deion Sanders coaches show Saturday night. Is it Friday? No, it's Friday night. Friday night, I forget what game ended, and the Deion Sanders coaches show comes on, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll take this in. And man, it was a half hour of just painstaking. I didn't stick with it. When they said, we're just going to have fun here. No, you're not going to have fun. You're getting your ass kicked. And it was just an infomercial on Deion and his kids, from my view. Just, God, it was dreadful television. You can't sit there and make everybody believe things are great when they're not. I get you don't want to chase off the fan base, but you better have a smart fan base that says, this is not true. We all know what's going on here. Like when I run into the maroon socks to past their knees and the gold shorts down to their ankles group, that just everything is great and it's all Ray Anderson's fault that it's in this space. It's not all Ray Anderson's fault. It's not. You just want somebody to be mad at. Ray's part of the problem at the end. He wasn't the problem at the beginning when he first got here. It's pretty clear that he and Todd Graham weren't going to coexist. And, you know, I'm not going to go do revisionist history here, but it's everybody wants to blame one person. It's a collective effort. And when I'm sitting there watching infomercial TV on how great Colorado football is, oh, my God, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. Just click, please. What else? The Suns won. I watched some of the Suns-Memphis game. It was on NBA TV. I'll take a break here for Wilner. And it was on NBA TV, and they're trying their hardest to hype up this in-season tournament. You know, never mind that Kevin Durant's not playing, Bradley Beal's not playing. Man, this is the greatest thing ever. You know, the court's different. I don't know. Does Naismith reinvent the game? Is it just a bunch of money to try to incentivize guys to go play in games that don't matter in November? Which it is. Are you on the edge of your seat about the play-in? Are you on the edge of your seat about this tournament? Give me college sports all day long versus when these pro sports teams are trying to figure out, why is it we don't have great basketball games on the NBA level early in the season? Because we all know it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. And you can change, you can try to change all you want. Why is it that college football can produce unbelievable endings, like the ending of Alabama-Auburn? Or watching Oregon-Oregon State, or Washington-Washington State. And the kicker for Washington kicks the winning field goal, and then they give him a scholarship afterwards. How does that work in an NFL locker room? It doesn't. It doesn't mean it's a terrible product. It's just what I saw over the weekend, college greater than, like way greater than pro stuff. Just is. Like, I'm really interested in baseball season getting started. I am. I'm totally about what the Diamondbacks are doing. Totally think that that was a grind of attrition that ended up in a World Series. That wasn't sitting here saying, well, let's create some sort of something to get everybody interested. No, that's not how it goes. All right. Wilner is next. Let me take a minute to talk to you about Goodwill. And when I bring up Goodwill, I bring it up in this way, in the athletic sense. Do you have the shoes from your kids through the years that have collected over in the corner or in their closet, and you know there's a kid out there that could really use them? Goodwill, for the Sesmats, we go to Goodwill and drop off and deliver often. I do. 3-4 times a year I'll find things, because with 4 kids, we just have a lot of stuff. And now they're not here. We're empty nesters, so we find even more stuff. And Goodwill is where we take it. There's a Goodwill about a mile and a half from where I'm sitting right now. There's one over by our church. There's one down the street from us on the way to downtown Phoenix. And so when I have Goodwill that easy to drop off and to try to help somebody out, think about it in the athletic sense. It's the middle of the high school year. You may have that kid who's into wrestling, and you may be the single mom, the single dad that doesn't have the money to afford it. And a pair of gently used shoes over at Goodwill could help you get through. All right? Think about Goodwill here at the holiday season. That is Goodwill. John Wilner is next. All right, as promised, John Wilner is with us. John looks great because he had a great Thanksgiving. He had lots of stuffing and turkey, and now you need to get on a treadmill. No, I need to get on a treadmill. That's the honest fact of it.
Well, we didn't actually have turkey. My kids wanted beef.
What?
So, yeah, and so I know. I was disappointed, but I had to go along with the consensus. So we had beef tenderloin.
That's code for the consensus being this is what my wife wanted to do.
Sorry. Exactly. I'm fine with that. Totally
that,
right.
That is
totally
there right. It is. There it is. Okay. John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. You can find all of his content at Wilner Hotline on social media and of course on sports360az.com. Let's start with the territorial cup. We'll get that out of the way because there's a lot of stuff to get to. Did you have a problem with the starters still on the field running up the totals on ASU? I did not. Did you?
No, not at all. I mean, ASU asked for it, right? I mean, you just look at those billboards, and I don't remember exactly how long Herm Edwards kept his starters in 3 years ago in the 70-7 game, but Arizona had every right to pound them. I mean, if they had gone for 80, I would have had no problem with that.
Yep.
That's the bed ASU made.
So from that, what can you take away? You know, Louis Riddick was doing the color analysis for ESPN, and I think he's terrific. And he was just gushing about Fifita and McMillan and future first-round draft picks. Like, I've not heard him gush over U of A football players or any analyst for that matter in years.
Yep.
What'd you think?
No, I agree. I don't know that Noah Fifita's a first-round pick, right? McMillan, maybe. You know, a lot depends on a guy that big. He doesn't have to run great. But there's certainly playmakers along the line, the likes of which Arizona hasn't had in a long time. Mm-hmm. But to me, the biggest difference with the Wildcats is their strength, size, speed on the lines, depths on the lines of scrimmage, right? They can hold up against, you know, anybody in the conference, basically. And that hadn't been the case. Even when they've had good playmakers on the perimeter, they hadn't been very good up front. They are good up front, so they've got everything. Now they got to hold on to these guys, right? I mean, that's the issue with having good players in the transfer portal era is that other schools are going to come after them.
Yep.
Does Arizona have the wherewithal, the NIL support, the internal support to keep them? We'll see. I suspect they do. I think Arizona's got a good thing going, and the players are going to want to come back. The fact that they're all teammates, you know, McMillan, Fifita, Jacob Manu, the fact that they're all high school teammates will probably help keep them together. But it's going to be a very interesting few weeks once the portal opens for Arizona.
Is this sustainable? Do you think the dark days are behind U of A now going to the Big 12 the way they're built?
No, I don't think it's sustainable. I don't know how long they'll keep Jed Fish. I don't know how long they'll keep these guys. But Arizona's program doesn't have the foundation for sustained football success. Just look at decades of history, right? Arizona has these upticks, right? They have one in with Rich Rod in, 2014, 15. But they can't keep it going, right? They don't have the foundation to keep it going like football. Most football programs that have, you know, that are football schools, right? Arizona is still a basketball school with a very little local high school talent. That's a tough combination, right? So I think Fish will win, you know, they could win a couple of years at a high level, and then they'll cycle down, and then eventually they'll cycle back up and then cycle down.
So I would disagree with you a little bit in this way.
Okay.
In this way. What you said about Rich Rod is true. The unknown in all this is the portal nowadays. I mean, all it takes, you know, Tucson, you've been in Tucson. I'll just throw Jim Click's name in there. I'll throw some big booster dollars around. If they believe that they have the right guy and the right temperament in place, John, I think it can be sustainable at any university in this day and age, because all you have to do is have the guys to throw the money at it and the coaching staff to keep the culture in place. We'll get over to Jed staying or leaving. I think he's going to leave, but I just think it can be sustainable at any place. Even Arizona State, which has just been mired in mediocrity for over a dozen years, the numbers flat don't lie. And I just think it's a different era now.
Yeah, it is a different era. There's no doubt about that. But I just tend to think the past is the future, right? And even though the air is changing for everybody. So the football schools that have the big boosters, they're going to be more willing to throw money at their players. And the situation is going to change with revenue sharing with the athletes in a few years. Where's Arizona going to be with that? You know, are they going to have the internal mechanisms to pay their players the way the top level football schools are going to pay their players once we get to revenue sharing? There's a lot. The whole economic landscape of college sports is going to change, and it's going to increase the pressure internally. And I just don't know where Arizona's going to come down. You know, there's going to be a lot of competition in the Big 12. Those schools have got deep pocketed oil money donors. We'll see. Arizona at heart is still a basketball school, so we'll see if they can sustain it.
I don't know if you saw it, John, but the Wildcat fans talking about the pounding that they put on ASU, and then the ASU fans responding with where's the $240 million you guys can't seem to find?
Yeah.
They're pretty clever down here. I must say, you know.
I love that. The back and forth. I love that stuff. You know, that's what makes college football great because of the rivalries. Right. It's a regional sport at heart.
John Wilner with us. Wilner Hotline for a couple of minutes. Jed Fish, does he stay at Arizona? Does he leave Arizona? Is UCLA going to come into play with Chip Kelly about to be fired or not fired? If UCLA comes open, Jed Fish makes a lot of sense, I believe. John?
He certainly makes some sense there. You know, he coached there under Jim Mora. I think that there's a chance. You know, the coaching carousel is just starting to spin, right? We got to see what UCLA is going to do. There's going to be other jobs, right? I mean, everything's got ramifications, right? So Texas A&M is going to hire Mike Elko from Duke. Duke's got to hire somebody, right? That starts this whole thing. What's Oregon State going to do? And then you've got the NFL cycle of change. If the NFL poaches college coaches, it starts the whole thing over again in several weeks. I think it's too early to say for sure that Fish will be back. I think it's very much up in the air. UCLA is certainly one option, but there could be others. We'll see what Arizona is willing to do. The big thing with Arizona right there, they have got this $240 million deficit, right? The money to pay Jed Fish comes from a separate revenue bucket, but you still have to deal with the internal optics and with the faculty being outraged over how much you're going to pay your football coach, right, when academic support programs are being cut. So President Robert Robbins has got a very delicate line he's got to walk here. And ultimately, there could be some schools that come at Jed Fish that are football schools with more money. And we'll see if he ends up leaving.
Okay, so we're sitting here on this Monday talking right now. UCLA is not open as we sit here today. Do you expect UCLA to come open, John?
I am leaning in terms of that direction, right? I mean, it's been interesting to watch the last 3 weeks. They had a terrible game against ASU, a spirited victory over USC, which is obviously carries a lot of weight in the UCLA community, and then a no-show against Cal. So they're under 500 in the conference. Chip Kelly's just finished his sixth year. The program is stagnant, right? And if you're looking at UCLA, you're saying, are we in position to succeed going into the Big Ten next year? The answer is probably, you say no, they're not.
No.
But at the same time, you can only fire Chip Kelly if you got somebody better lined up. Do they think Jed Fish is better? I don't know. I would have thought Jonathan Smith was a good option for them, but he's taken the Michigan State job. I don't know if he thought Chip was going to stay in place or if UCLA whispered, you're not going to be our guy, even if we do fire Chip. But, you know, Jonathan Smith to me was an option for the Bruins. So I don't know. I'm not sure that they necessarily have somebody lined up who's better, but I do know they got to think long and hard about this. And significantly, Chip's got a new contract, and the financial exposure for UCLA on the buyout is limited. So for a school that's got money issues like Arizona, they're a little bit different, but both ultimately have money issues. There's not a huge buyout that they'd have to eat. So I think that makes me think, you know what, maybe they will make a change.
Yeah, the UCLA people that I know want Chip gone.
Yeah, everybody's tired of Chip.
Yeah, they're just
everybody's tired. And the thing about it is his record, you know, they won 8 last year. They won 7 this year. But they had both years they played three terrible non-conference schedules. So the overall record looks a lot better than the weekly results, right? They only beat one good team this year, USC, right? The rest of their wins in conference play were Stanford, Colorado, and Washington State. There's no meat on the bone at 7-5 with them.
Okay. Let's go over to what happened at Oregon State over the weekend. Now, I think Jonathan Smith is a terrific coach and has done great work at Oregon State. I have to wonder, why would you go? I understand Pac-2. I understand why Michigan State would take him. They're going into the Big Ten on the West Coast. They want somebody who's got West Coast ties. That makes a lot of sense for them. Why would Jonathan Smith take this job unless it's just the decimal point has moved so far down and he doesn't believe that the Pac-2 can make it?
Well, I think that. Yes, certainly the Oregon State's iffy future in the Pac-2 with Washington State, not only what the conference is going to look like, but what's your playoff access, what's your internal support for you know, running your program with salaries for assistant coaches, what's your NIL support for recruiting, you know, all those things have got to be weighing on him. And at Michigan State, he knows he has a very solid financial situation, plus a huge raise. The other thing is, you wonder if you're Jonathan Smith, have I taken this ship as far as it can go, right? We won 8 games. Last year, they won 10. They couldn't beat Oregon. They couldn't beat Washington down the stretch. I think probably there's some of that. He feels like I came in, I hauled my alma mater out of the gutter after Gary Anderson left in the middle of the season. I built this thing to 18 wins in 2 years. I'm not sure I can take it any farther. Let's try a new challenge. I think there's probably some of that, but I also wonder if he's going to get lost in the machinery of the Big Ten, right? Michigan State is a second level program in a Big Ten that's going to get more competitive with USC, Washington, and Oregon. He's going to be in the Midwest. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, in some ways, it's like, is Jonathan Smith going to lose his identity as a head coach in the machinery of the Big Ten at a place that, like Oregon State, compared to Oregon, Michigan State is compared to Michigan?
Yeah, no. I think all those are fair because, like, Indiana's open right now. Indiana's a place you just go to, much like U of A. It's a basketball school. You're going to get lost in the shuffle. Michigan State football, you can talk all you want if you're a Sparty fan about the players you sent on to the NFL. They're just not that many. And Michigan rules all day long. All day long.
Yep.
So I'm just kind of scratching my head on that one. And so that job is sitting out there now at Oregon State. Any other openings that you see coming now that we can't call them Pac-12 anymore in football? It's very sad. Any more openings that you see coming within this conference?
No, I mean, I always think, you know, you got to account for the chance that Kyle Whittingham will retire. I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, he's in his 60s and he's done incredible work at Utah. Or no, I think he's late 50s. But that's always a possibility. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going anywhere, at least unless Jim Harbaugh leaves Michigan. And then obviously Washington will have to be concerned about losing DeBoer. Probably not. You know, I think Justin Wilcox is solid. Dan Lanning, you know, Georgia and Alabama aren't opening, so I think Dan Lanning's going to stay at Oregon. I think probably this is going to be it, other than watching UCLA, unless, again, there's the NFL causes this domino effect, you know, Harbaugh, whoever else, and this whole thing starts over again in early January. That's what we've got to watch. There's certainly a bunch of openings. Mountain West, right? San Diego State's open. Boise State's open. New Mexico's open. I think Nevada's going to open. So there's going to be some jobs there. We'll need to watch, you know, the offensive and defensive coordinators at Pac-12 schools, you know, ASU maybe, you know, Brian Ward, would he be a candidate somewhere potentially? But, you know, there's the cycle, the coaching carousel is going to spin, I don't know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks because of the NFL.
All right, before I get you out of here, Pac-12 championship game. Who do you got? And why, John?
I've got Oregon. I thought for weeks Oregon has been the best team in the conference. They are pounding teams that Washington struggled to beat. You know, you got to give Washington a ton of credit for getting through undefeated. But Oregon has looked like the more complete team. I was a little surprised to see the betting line open at 9. That seems a bit high.
Big number. Wow.
Big number. You know, if Oregon will have an extra day to prepare, right? They played Friday. Washington had a very tough game, physical game Saturday afternoon. I like the Ducks. I don't know about 9 points, but I think the Ducks have been the most complete team in the conference for a month. And, you know, nothing has swayed me from that view. They look very good against Oregon State 1 week after the Huskies struggled to win in Corvallis. You look at the point differential over the course of the 9-game conference season. Washington's outscored their conference opponents by 76 points. Oregon has outscored its conference opponents by 200 and something points. I think that matters.
It's good stuff there, as always, with John Wilner. We appreciate Wilner Hotline, and we're back with more after this timeout.